But there's no limit on the number of classes or workshop that you could be running simultaneously. Is that also correct, or am I wrong?
I believe it's and this would be in the record because there's a site plan in the record. There's only one meeting space that can facilitate a class of that size. So it would be, just by the nature of the buildings, there could only be one class held at a time.
Classes are always held inside?
Classes are always held inside.
Okay. And obviously, if you wanted to expand that, you'd have to go through the whole process again.
There's only the one meeting room
yeah.
space.
Good. Okay. Thanks. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we will hear from supporters of the appeal. If you are a supporter of the appeal and you'd like to testify, you must sign up with the clerk. We need that information. How many people do we have signed up, Carla?
We have 10 left on the list now.
10 on the list now. All right, come on up. 3 minutes each.
The clerk
will call your name.
Three are Michael Fox, Karen Abrams, and Alan Wilson. Come on up, and they'll be followed by Joshua Ryan, Aaron Cardella, and Lisa Chun.
Is there anybody else here who is not on the list who wants to be on the list? All right, let's go ahead and close the list, please. Good afternoon. Name for the record, please. We do not need your address. About 6 inches or so works, and just leave the microphone on when you leave, and you can slide the microphones around however suits you the best. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Abrams. I am here in support of the Everett Health Healing Center, both as someone who's been a resident in the neighborhood as well as a longtime patron since 1977. In fact, I'm one of the earliest patrons of the center since I lived at 2944 Northeast Cooch, just 2 blocks away from the Everett House Healing Center. At the time, I was able to walk there, and it was a very pleasant surprise that something of that value was right in my neighborhood and so immediately accessible. I basically felt that I had close access to a community health, social, and spiritual center, and have always regarded as a very valuable resource in the neighborhood for neighbors and locals. As a patron, I have used the original outdoor hot tubs, sauna, and flotation tanks for relaxation, and more recently, massage therapy, chiropractic, and health counseling services when needed. Each visit, I always looked forward to and enjoyed the quiet, peaceful, friendly, and supportive environment that I discovered both inside and outside of the center. I returned to Portland in June of 2010, almost 9 years ago, and was happy to see that the Everett House Healing Center was still there and going strong, retaining its unique ambiance and its healing offerings. Since my return, I have been utilizing many of the same services as before. It was only in very recent years that I learned of neighbors who moved into the area who started making complaints about the center. It caused me to question their motivation, because parking, for one, has never been an issue for me. I never once had a problem finding a parking spot right there for my appointments or whenever I wanted to use the facilities. And there was never any noise around the center. It was always very serene and pleasant. Throughout the 40 years that I have had a relationship with the center, the owners and staff have always acted with the utmost integrity and respect towards all of their stakeholders. If not, the center would not still be in existence and would not have been able to enjoy such longevity. Thank you for this opportunity and for your thoughtful consideration.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Hello, my name is Michael Fox, and I live about a little less than a block away on Everett Street. And I also serve on the board of the Kearns Neighborhood Association. I emailed in support of the Everett House Amendment for the hearing for the last time. And so I want to be here and reiterate that. And I support the request to eliminate the off-street parking, and still do. So the record shows that the parking requirements are really no longer needed or really relevant. And the Everett House is I think it's a very positive thing in the neighborhood, just living right there. And I don't think they are going to significantly change anything with respect to parking. And that's pretty much it. I don't think think they should be withheld or held to the standard of, you know, I guess what we could call ancient parking requirements, you know, given that there's increased parking pressures. So I don't think they'll significantly impact anything with respect to parking. And that's pretty much it. I mean, thank you for your
Excuse
thank
me,
you,
Mayor.
Commissioner Hardesty. Oh,
can I just, you just said that there's additional parking pressure, but you also recommend that we remove the parking requirement. Those sounds like contrary opinions expressed in the same sentence.
Yes, because I don't think the Everett House is going to significantly change anything. The Everett House itself, perhaps the surroundings will, because as we all know, everything is getting more dense. So at one point in time, the parking requirements, I suppose, were more reasonable. But nowadays, I believe that with our density increase, they're not.
So you, what do you recommend for people who live in the neighborhood who say that they can't find parking in their neighborhood because of visitors who are coming to the center?
One, I don't think it's very impactful, because as I've lived there and I don't really see anything significant with respect to the parking situation in present day. And I do know that, you know, off 28th Street, that has a far greater impact. So,
thank
as
you.
I said.
I just thought I heard two separate things. I just wanted to make sure that both were right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. My name is Alan Wilson. I testified at the first hearing, and I'm here again today because I absolutely love going to the Everett House. I'm a Portland, Oregon native. I was born here, and I have lived here most of my life. I've been a business owner for 35 years in the landscaping industry. I'm a tree surgeon, and I have done landscaping work for the Everett House. I'm also a basketball referee. Given the stresses of my jobs, I've done a lot of research about where I can go to relax. So when I found the Everett House, it was one of the best experiences of my life. I was in an auto accident about a year and a half ago, and my treatment plan was the highest level that one could ever imagine. People there treated me with the utmost care, utmost respect. Talk about mind, body, and spirit. Being a holistic space like that, to be in a spot where you can relax, unwind, meet and greet people from different ethnic backgrounds and such, it's pretty awesome for a person like myself. I have a son who was dealing with mental health about a year and a half ago. During that process and time, I brought him to experience what I experienced there. It was very endearing, very special for me to have that bonding time. I felt it was a very safe and secure place for me and my son, a place where I could share his experience with me and we could bond. So I would just like to say that on behalf of all the experiences that I've had there and all the people who have treated me with the utmost care, that I absolutely love and respect and honor this sacred place. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, all three of you. Next three people, please, Carla.
Next three are Joshua Ryan, Aaron Cardella, and Lisa Chun. And they'll be followed by Lucas Littlefield, Bob Zimbel, and Jonathan Akers.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start, please?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Joshua Ryan, and I'm speaking on behalf of Everett House. By way of introduction, I am formerly the executive director for the Pearl District Business Association, board member for the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. And it recalls to me things that we were challenged with in the Pearl, where neighborhoods that are so interesting and have such great amenities or why people come to those neighborhoods, and then after time they try to emulate the very reasons for which they came. As I stated in my written testimony in the record, I've been a member of Everett House since 1993. As an LGBTQ person, I needed a place that was safe, inclusive, and peaceful. In the past 25 years, I've seen visitors, families with children, women with mastectomies working through their health issues in the bravest possible ways, people like me who suffer from back and circulatory issues and prefer to soak or to have massage or to include alternative healing to their health strategies. I've been pain-free and prescription drug-free for more than 2 decades. During my visits at Everett House, I've always been respectful of the neighborhood. I live in the neighborhood. I arrive silently. I speak in whispered tones. And I understand this is not a bar or a party place or a public pool. It is a sanctuary. And in my time, I've never seen an argument or any inappropriate behavior. I respectfully ask council to make a decision that allows the Everett House to continue to this urban space for health and relaxation and to, most importantly, keep the qualities and the lifestyles that are so unique to this great neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Aaron Cardella. I'm a resident of the Kearns neighborhood. I live 3 blocks away from the Everett House Community Healing Center, and I have previously served on the board of the neighborhood. I'm now the secretary at the Mindful Men's Meditation Meeting of Refuge Recovery. That is a community supporting recovery from addiction of all kinds. We came across the kindness and generosity of the Everett House Community Healing Center at a time of need for our program. Everett House offered a space for group meetings and counseling free of charge in the existing meeting room. We are grateful for the healing space. I also have personal experience with parking and traffic in the neighborhood and find there's ample parking in the area. I request the council approve the requested amendment so that this healing community space may continue to provide space and service for those in need. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Hello, my name is Lisa Chun. I'm a retired attorney and have played roles in public pension funds in the past. I could live on Cesar Chavez Boulevard, which is 9 blocks from Everett House. Before explaining my positive experience with the Everett House, I would like to note that it is well documented in the record that personal matters are involved in the primary opposition to the Everett House. As indicated in the written testimony at the first hearing, my husband, my sons, and I regularly visit the Everett House for body work and healing, and I usually walk there from my house. I personally have found relief from back pain through use of the spa, massage, and chiropractic services offered at the Everett House. Knowing that I can go to this urban sanctuary has been a blessing for me. I support removal of the off-street parking condition and request that the council reach a decision that allows continued operation of this important community benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carla.
Are Lucas Littlefield, Bob Zimbel, and Jonathan Akers. And then the last person will be Bridget McGrath.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start for us down on the end?
Thank you. My name is Jonathan Akers. I'm a resident in the Kearns area. My family's resided there for 80 years. I've seen a lot of changes in the city. I'm also a construction worker, been home remodeling for 25 years. So I'm helping beautify this beautiful city that we all love. I also enjoy going to the sanctuary of Everett House to get healing for my body, and because I do put it through a lot of rigorous things on a daily basis, and it's quite the gem in my neighborhood. It's convenient, and I always walk there since I live so close, and I would love to see this place stay alive. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. My name is Lucas Littlefield. I'm a resident very near the Kearns neighborhood, and I also attend the Everett House very regularly, I would say 4 to 6 days a week. I attend both in the earlier part of the day, the daytime hours, as well as very often at night, as my schedule pretty much requires me to do more night soaking than day. To that point, there's only been, in my 4 years of attending the Everett House, there's only been one time where there was any kind of a noise situation where one of the members was just getting a little chatty, and it was during the whispering hours. The other patrons in the pool at the time sort of collectively quieted that person down politely and respectfully, so his staff didn't have to be, you know, brought in to take care of the issue. And again, in 4 years of attending commonly at night, that's the only issue I've ever personally experienced with sound. After my sessions at the Everett House, I usually walk the neighborhood, you know, just to stroll home, sort of to cool off after the hot water and the steam. And at that time, again, I haven't noticed myself any issues with noise disturbance in the neighborhood, whether they be at the actual Everett location or within the block surrounding. The final point I wanted to make in response to the bike parking that was brought up, I often bike as well, and I've never had a problem finding a place for my bike there. If it is a little bunched up, there's usually room around the rack itself to bring bikes in. So I don't think at this point, from my experience, there's been an over-parking issue with bikes specifically. Thank you all very much for the opportunity to speak today.
Thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Hello, my name is Bob Simble, and I have the honor of being one of the original founders of the Retreat Center, in-town Retreat Center. At the time, I was the director of a retreat center out near Forest Grove, and meeting with David Slauson, who was mentioned earlier, we said there needs to be an in-town retreat center, so let's start one. And we started this place, and instantly the response to this, the need for this type of facility, was overwhelming. So we expanded into from one building to two buildings and to three buildings it is now. And it really has become an in-town retreat center. Many of us use the spa there. We don't need to have our own hot tub at home, which is, I think, is very ecological. It's also our health and our spirituality for the people who attend there, because I go there once or twice a week, every week, for 40 years. You see something, that people's health and their spirituality is totally integrated there. And to deal with the issue earlier about chiropractic and acupuncture, actually at this time that this facility was created, I had long hair and long beard, and I taught yoga full time. So definitely people came there to relax. And in 1986, I was hit by a couple of trucks on the freeway. It was devastating. But I could go to the Everett House, and I could get chiropractic, acupuncture. I have to admit, my wife's also an acupuncturist, and the hot tubs. And somehow that got me through that time. So to me, acupuncture, massage, all this is so integrated. When people come in there in pain, and if chiropractic helps, acupuncture helps, the hot tubs help, massage helps, the counseling helps, when you reduce pain, you create relaxation. So to me, they're inseparable.
Thank you.
I think Portland needs to recognize that the Everett House is a Portland treasure that needs to be preserved and protected. And I hope that if you could see what I've seen over the years, people come in, they're kind of tense, they leave very mellow. We need to see more of that in these troubled times. It's our home. It's our sanctuary. It means so much to so many people. If you could only experience that, you would know what this is really all about. So I'd like to see a thumbs up from the group behind me of all in favor of the Everett House. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks all for
you. Can I just ask you, sir, we don't always get a founder. And actually, we had you said your colleague is a founder. But I'm struck by the fact that you were able to assemble three properties in an inner northeast neighborhood. What was the serendipity that allowed you to acquire three single family homes in an area as both residential and as highly regarded as this one?
Well, I think a lot of it was just good luck. And at the time, I had just sold my house and I had made $10,000. I donated $10,000 for a lifetime membership, so that could happen. So people stepped up and loaned David Slauson, I think, like $400,000. So the finances came together. People put their personal finances online to see this vision become a dream.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The last person who signed up was Bridget McGrath.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to offer a little perspective. My name is Bridget McGrath. I'm originally from Berkeley, California, the home of crazy parking. I lived in Portland almost 20 years ago, and I'm back in part because I watched a lake dry up in the Oakland Hills over the 5 years before I moved. So I want to point to kind of a couple larger issues. One, water is sacred. It is healing. This is a community resource, clearly, as you've heard. Also, since moving back to Portland almost 3 years ago, I can park anywhere I go. That is unheard of in an urban area. You know, we're all experiencing pressures in these big cities, San Francisco, Oakland, Portland, Seattle. But to move back here almost 20 years later and still be able to park within a block or two of almost everywhere I go in this city, that's unheard of. So you guys kind of need to zoom out a little bit and think about the perspective of what's to be expected in an urban area. You can't always park across the street from where you're going. And the fact that Portland does such a good job with public transit, with biking, with people in the neighborhood walking, I think that speaks to the fact that where this tradition has come from can continue despite the pressures of condos being built on every corner. Also, just in terms of kind of the identity of Portland as a city, one of the reasons I came back here was there's this concept of sharing resources. As Bob said, we don't all have to have a hot tub in our backyard. To build community, to share resources makes so much more sense. So I just want to really support the Everett House as an accessible resource for the working class people of Portland who need it. In fact, I think the groundswell of support is evidence that every neighborhood needs a resource like this. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Next up, we will have the principal opponent, who will have 15 minutes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And I just want to clarify with legal counsel, since there are documents being handed out.
Yes, so staff has reviewed and confirmed that everything in that was already placed in the record, but
okay.
We'll also provide a copy to the applicant so that they have an opportunity to object if they...
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you. And if anybody has any objections about anything, they can please see the legal counsel.
Mayor, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Hardesty, Fish, Fritz, and Udaly, good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to share some thoughts about this appeal. I agree.
Would you give us your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Fred King. I live at 2904 Northeast Flanders. And I want to say first that I agree with just about everybody who testified in favor of Everett House, that it's a wonderful place. I've been there several times myself, and I don't know anybody who doesn't like getting a back massage and sitting in a hot tub. That's not really what this is about. From their website, first document in your packet is... a story from the Oregonian. Last year, they ranked the best tourist attractions in Portland. And when they did that, they found that the zoo was number 17, OMSI was number 19, Everett House was number 5. It was a fifth-rated tourist attraction in Portland. So I guess the question for me is, how does a nonprofit community center in a single-family residential neighborhood get to be the number 5 tourist attraction in the city? So that's what I'd like to talk about now. As you can see from the next document, as far back as 1982, the Planning Department staff report for the conditional use permit said that the staff had reservations about allowing unlimited use of the site. It appeared that the applicant should seek a more flexible, properly zoned site if expansion is to continue. In the words of the hearing officer in November 2018, the operation was increasing in scale by providing services on a metropolitan-wide basis. That increasing scale posed a threat to the neighborhood, and that their own success dictate that they relocate to allow expansion rather than intensifying in an R5 area. On page 16 of the decision, the hearing officer stated that the approval criterion requires analysis of the intensity and scale of the proposed use to determine if the applicant's proposal significantly lessens the appearance and function of the residential area and he determined that the proposal in this case did increase the uses, scale of uses, and intensity of uses at the subject property. Simply stated, the business had already outgrown the neighborhood 37 years ago. Since then, they've added more services and kept growing. Last year, they bought a fourth house adjoining the other three. The sheer number of people that you've heard from today and the stacks of testimonials you probably have received or will receive are proof that Everett House has outgrown the neighborhood. They've become so big that they sold over $50,000 in Groupons, even though on paper they claim to be a nonprofit. The next document in your packet is an article from Willamette Week, 1995. They tried to expand that year by putting a new hot tub in the backyard of the house with the chiropractic office. I was very surprised to look out my kitchen window that year to see this hole being dug in the ground right over my backyard fence and a new hot tub ready to be installed. I found out that this was in violation of the conditional use permit and took steps to contact the city about it. The city stopped him from building at that point, as you'll see in the article. And after that, Mr. Mantell took steps to take over the hot tub business next door from the previous management called Common Ground. Now, Everett House management has claimed today to have been in the neighborhood for 38 years, but that's misleading. Before 2006, the hot tub business was operated by Mr. Mantell's partners, a collective called Common Ground. In 2006, he forced them out, first raising their rent and then suing them. He claimed that he found mold on a wall in a basement room. Imagine that, mold on a wall in a house that was built in Portland in 1905. But he sued them, and you've got a copy of the Multnomah County Circuit Court case, Mantell versus Common Ground. After settling that case, he took over the business for himself, and Common Ground moved to a commercial zone on 33rd in Alberta, and they're still there today. So after he took over the hot tub business, attempts to expand ramped up. Now, it's normal for a business that provides great services to grow, but condition one of the conditional use states that no new exterior construction shall take place, and condition E states that all applicable city and state codes shall be met at all times. They broke both of these conditions many times over the years in their attempts to expand. The green folder that you have contains some of the violations they committed over the years, including June 2006, when they were cited for operating a business in a residential area, October 2006, where they were cited for installing flotation tanks without permits or inspections, September 2011, they were cited for building a kiosk in front of the Flanders Street property, December 2011, they were cited again for installing a new hot tub in violation of their permit, and for removing a stop work order for that tub without approval. March 2014, there was a noise complaint, drums and gongs audible with doors and windows closed. March 2016, they were cited for not having the required exclusive parking spaces and for having a commercial business in a residential zone. They currently have an 8-foot fence around 2917 Northeast Everett, which exceeds code height. So that's a total of 5 times they tried to build new hot tubs, flotation tanks, a steam room, a second sauna, and other facilities, all of which are currently in operation. People are paying money to go and use these facilities that were built illegally, twice in 96, in 2006, and twice in 2011. Now, they have told you, and they told the hearing officer at the land use hearing, that the parking problem is from the restaurants on 28th Street and businesses on Gleason. But the parking problem started long before Restaurant Row existed. Back when the Starbucks on the corner of 28th and Burnside was a Rexall drugstore and the Whole Foods was a Food Value, the only restaurants on 28th Street were Holman's and Shin Yen. Now, my house, my wife and I own a house that's directly connected to directly adjacent to one of their properties. And we have when we got the house, there were 2 beautiful flowering cherry trees, Japanese cherry trees, in front of the house. We had to cut one of them down to build a driveway because my wife would get home with 2 kids in car seats and groceries and have no place to park, have to park a block away. So we had to put in a driveway. We had to lose those trees. And at the time, These were not people parking to go to the restaurants because the restaurants didn't exist. These were people going with towels into the hot tubs. They were required to have 30 exclusive parking spaces, and the city accepted a deal where they got lease spaces. They had it on paper, a contract that they were sharing spaces with another business. But you'll notice that in their proposal, and four of the people that testified before me, that they didn't actually use the spaces that they had a contract for because they always had parking on the street. And I don't think they even to this day understand that the whole idea of the parking requirement was that they would park there, not just have it on paper, but tell their customers to park there, the employees to park there. And they said, oh, no, you know, it's on paper, good enough. As you can see from the next document, the city told them in 1987 and again in 97 that operating a chiropractic office in an R5 zone was a code violation. If you Google Everett House Chiropractic right now, you'll see the next photo, which is an ad for chiropractic services and a sign on their porch proudly advertising it. Code violation. I mean, they're just not supposed to be allowed in an R5 zone, but I don't know how they justify that to themselves. Condition A of the conditional use permit states that no more people may use this facility without than can be accommodated without creating undue noise or disturbance in the surrounding residences. Now, you have to understand, the hot tubs are right over the backyard fences of the adjoining houses. People in the hot tubs, you probably have used a hot tub, you have to talk a little bit louder than normal to be heard over the motors of the hot tubs and the noise of the water and everything. And we can clearly hear conversations. If you're in our backyard, if you're in a summer afternoon relaxing, you can hear conversations continuously coming from the hot tubs. And you can hear music from their after-hour parties. One of my neighbors called in a noise complaint every day last summer. And in response to that noise complaint, they installed a waterfall in the hot tub. One of their practitioners used to conduct therapy sessions in a shack in the house next door to my home, there'd be this horrible screaming noise. The first time we heard it, we're sitting in the backyard, and we thought, should we call 911? Should we go over there and try to help? And then we found out eventually that he was doing some kind of primal scream therapy. In 2006, Mr. Mantel bought the house at 2926 Northeast Flanders. And at that point, the activity at that site ramped up. The next document that you have is a list of 50 different organizations and 8 massage therapists who use space in that building. The businesses include a business that are using that space, include a business that will charge you $25 for a full moon ceremony, $40 for lessons in astral projection, $99 to create a vision board, $500 for couples massage classes, and $20 to learn how to be your own best friend. Now, I don't have anything against these people making money. It's fine with me, whatever they want to teach. But I don't understand how this could possibly be a nonprofit community center. It doesn't make sense. Their permit allowed them to have a sauna, hot tubs, massage, tea house, as long as their customers parked somewhere else. All this extra activity, the chiropractic office, acupuncture, flotation tanks, steam room, 2 or 3 classes a day, this goes way beyond what was allowed for in the conditional use permit. There's a reasonable limit to how much commercial activity you can have and still have the neighborhood function as a residential neighborhood. We have delivery trucks coming and going every day. The picture you have there of all the delivery trucks, there's a kombucha truck on the right in the photo. That truck sat in the middle of Flanders Streets for a full 20 minutes. And we have timestamp evidence of that. On leaf pickup days, when people sweep their leaves out into the street to be picked up, our leaves don't get picked up because they're covered with cars that are parked there waiting to use Everett House. Now, I was told, be careful what you wish for, because if Everett House goes, there are going to be people living in those houses. That's 4 houses in a prime neighborhood that can be used to house people in a city that needs more housing for people. I think it would be great to have people living in those houses. I like my neighbors. I can look from my backyard on 29th Street all the way down to 30th Street, and I can see the play structure that my kids used to play in when they were little because I sold it to my neighbor because he had young kids. Another neighbor, a lot of my neighbors I see when we're out working on our gardens. We trade gardening tips. I learned about feather meal, which I had never heard of before. Another neighbor of mine has an amazing block party every year. We had to have two trees taken down last year. One was rotten, and the other one was just falling over. And they wanted $600 to haul the wood away, just for the wood. And I have a neighbor who heats his home with a wood stove, so I asked him if he wanted the wood. He removed the wood for me, chopped it up. He's using it to heat his house for the next few years. He got free wood. I saved $600. I'm just saying this to illustrate the fact that you have a different kind of relationship with people who live in a neighborhood than you have with people who are coming there to go to work. I also want to say that the land use review process in this case, including today's hearing, was seriously flawed. The neighbors in the neighborhood did not get proper notice of the November 26th hearing of the proposal to eliminate the parking requirement. It was sprung on us. As you can see in the next two documents, the October and November 2018 agendas of the Kearns Neighborhood Association, there's nothing about it on the October agenda. We didn't hear about it from the Neighborhood Association until November 21st, the day before Thanksgiving, 5 days before the hearing, giving us no time to organize a response. We had no input into the pre-conference hearings. You heard Mr. Moffitt say today that they only had letters of support in their when they were preparing their pre-conference materials. And the president of the Neighborhood Association was told before the November meeting that the proposal had already been approved, which was obviously not true because the hearing hadn't even happened yet and it ended up being denied. Now, why did this happen? It's because the appellant, Elliot Mantell, is also the land use chair of the Kearns Neighborhood Association. In fact, if you look at page 2 of the announcement of this appeal, under neighborhood contact, you will find his name. Now, does it make sense for a person who doesn't live in Portland, who has development plans in the neighborhood, to serve as the land use chair for a neighborhood association? At the November 26th hearing, when asked to give his address, Mr. Mantell and his wife, Ms. Pernickley, gave addresses on Everett Street. In one case, it's a vacant house, when in reality they reside in Lake Oswego. So by suppressing information that should have been available to the neighbors and by providing false address information, the appellant has corrupted the review process. They even provided their customers free Uber rides to this hearing today. Finally, I want to direct your attention to a study by Metro, an assessment of marginal impact of urban amenities, which confirms that, you know, the idea that when a Starbucks moves into a neighborhood, values of homes go up. Well, this study showed that when you live near a spa, the value of your home is reduced by 11.3%. So basically, granting any wiggle room, any appeal other than a denial, will give Everett House the wiggle room it needs to keep doing what it's been doing. Given the long history of noncompliance, I think the only alternative that you can really enforce is a total denial. We can't wait another 22 years. They became the fifth best tourist attraction in the city by breaking zoning laws and violating each and every condition of their permit, and now they want to be rewarded for it.
Can I interrupt you
unfair.
For one moment?
Sure.
You're over your time, and I'm allowing you to go within reason, but then I'm going to offer the appellant additional time should they so choose.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Are you close to being done, or where? How much longer do
I've
you think you need?
I've got 20 seconds.
Perfect. Go for it.
It would be profoundly unfair to the people in the community who live close to this business. Fool me once, shame on you. If the city can't see from its own documented evidence that Everett House's management has tried to fool us again and again and again, then shame on us.
Great. Thank you, colleagues.
Well,
any
I have
questions?
A question,
Commissioner
Mayor.
Fish.
You know, I was struck, sir, as I read through your prepared testimony, and thank you for taking the time to do that because I was able to read it along, that a lot of the issues that you've raised, and I understand they're issues of concern to you, don't seem particularly germane to the hearing before us, because the issue before us has to do with the conditional use approval of whether we let this particular applicant off the hook on off-street parking.
I'm not sure which are not germane.
Well, lots of information about where the applicant lives and whether these homes should be restored to single-family residences or passing judgment on this particular business being in a neighborhood and neighborhood association politics and process. I appreciate that you have the right to offer that testimony. We have conditions of approval that we have to follow, so I'm trying to adapt your testimony to the issues before us. So I wanted to give you a chance to address something that I don't think you addressed in your testimony, which is you heard the traffic consultant hired by the applicant saying specifically that the neighborhood could accommodate the parking without this requirement, this condition of approval about dedicated off-street parking. That is one of the very narrow and key issues that's before council. I wanted to give you a chance to respond to what you heard in terms of the expert testimony or the consultant's testimony on parking.
Sure. Well, I looked into this a little bit, and I found out that the appellant did not only hire one traffic engineer. He hired several and selected the one that would give him the result that he wanted.
Okay, sir, let me just again.
Sure.
I appreciate your right to frame your case in any way you want. And our job is, though, much more narrow. He can hire 10 and cherry pick the one he wants. What I'm giving you an opportunity to is to tell us you were present when their traffic consultant said that there is sufficient parking capacity in the neighborhood to give us confidence that we could relieve the applicant of this parking requirement. That's the major issue that triggered this whole thing.
When are you going to retire?
Folks, excuse me.
Right.
We cannot have this hearing interrupted as per the rules that were read right up front. You know this, Mr. Patterson. Thank you.
Okay. Just take a second here.
Just look at me and speak, Mayor.
I already did. I said you're in violation of the rules that were read up front. This is a land use hearing.
Can I set up a meeting?
So, sir, I apologize for that interruption. And
please continue.
One
moment. Go ahead, Commissioner Fish.
We celebrate democracy in these chambers. And
I understand.
We take everyone as they come. What I'm signaling to you, sir, and I'm not trying to argue the point, is I'm looking for relevant information that can help me make my decision.
Okay.
And the original issue had to do with parking. We had a consultant say that there's sufficient parking. You apparently live adjacent to one of these properties, so you're uniquely qualified to answer the question. What is your view of the consultant's testimony that there's adequate parking, so that the applicant can be relieved of this condition that they provide off-street parking?
Sir, I work as a research analyst for the state of Oregon, and I'm trained as an evaluator. What I've learned is that when you're hired to perform any kind of evaluation, you have a certain amount of leeway in looking at data, and given the pressures that you're experiencing in that position, you can pretty much come up with any result that the client who's paying you wants to come up with. Last night, we had a situation where one of the people who was an employee of Everett House parked directly across someone's driveway, completely blocking the driveway. So I guess my reaction to your question is experiential. I've had several times where I've been able to leave my house in a leave the driveway I described earlier because it's being blocked by their customers. The city has recently reduced their response, the way they're responding to parking requests like that. They no longer have a hotline where you can just call and say, hey, somebody's blocking my driveway, send someone out to give them a ticket. The city no longer responds in that way. So I think that problem's going to get worse. As far as the traffic study, I think it's just a little bit too fudgy. It's too easy to fudge something like that, I guess would be my reaction.
Okay, thank you.
Council, can I briefly just let you know that the applicant has indicated that the Oregonian ranking, the tourist ranking, that's not information that's in the record. So if Council could please disregard those statements.
Fair enough. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for testifying, Mr. King, and for giving us more of the historical context. So in your documentation, you suggest that the business hours should be reduced. You suggest that the hours of operation should be reduced?
I don't believe that that's a solution that will work. Over the years, we've negotiated this back and forth. We met with Southeast Uplift to come up with some kind of negotiated solution. And my honest reaction to your question is that anything we do short of denying this appeal is going to give them wiggle room to explain why chiropractic should be considered part of relaxation, why acupuncture is part of hot tubs. I don't know. It's, I guess the phrase that comes to my mind is give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Yeah. I think the problem goes beyond specific hours, numbers of people. I mean, they have another house. They bought another house now, which supposedly is not going to be part of the complex, but it's right next to it, and they're pipes laid underneath the retaining wall that are connecting the two. In the past, they've had water courses between the Flanders and Everett Street houses that attracted mosquitoes. It's just a situation that I don't think we can put back in the bottle at this point by having half measures.
Okay. I was particularly mindful of your comments about being able to hear the conversations in the hot tub when you're trying to enjoy your backyard. I think it's clear to me that this operation is expanding and expanding and expanding. One of the options is I'm a retired registered nurse, and you're never going to convince me that chiropractic and acupuncture should not be considered medical. We spent a long time making sure that people's medical insurance covers those very services. So that's a bottom line thing, and that's the thing that the hearings officer denied the application on. If we were to deny the application, they would continue operating. They had to find some other off-street parking, but they would continue operating.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
The application is to get rid of the off-street parking. It's not renewing the entire conditional use. So if we uphold the hearings officer's decision and just say no, they get to continue operating as they are, except that they would have to find a different location for off-street parking.
All right, and given the fact that that doesn't exist, I don't understand what would happen at that point.
Okay. And you're thinking that just reducing the hours is not going to make that much of a difference?
In my experience, no half measures would work with this organization.
And you said that one of your neighbors submitted noise complaints every day last summer.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that in the record?
Staff's indicating that it is not in the record.
It's not in the record. Okay.
Maybe the noise department has that record. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not allowed for the purpose of this hearing.
Could I ask you not to open the curtains, please? Just leave him be. He'll be. Just let him de-escalate a little bit. Thank you.
Yeah, for the purpose of this particular hearing, we have to decide on what's in the record, and we have to decide can the application be conditioned to meet the approval criteria, and so I'm personally in a bit of a bind because I do appreciate that the character of your neighborhood is very much changed by this business and this suite of businesses that is operating in it. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
So,
Commissioner Udaly.
Yes, I have a question / concern, but once again, I'm not sure if it was in the record, and that is the issue of improper notification by the neighborhood association.
The calendars were part of the record for the hearing.
The calendars were part of the record, but can we be illuminated on whether the process was followed? I'm looking at the attorneys right now. Sorry.
Yeah, and I'll let BDS staff speak to what happened at the hearing in terms of what evidence was and wasn't included in the record.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. King.
My understanding, Fred, from your initial objections were that they were related to the pre-application conference and notification around that?
No, they were. Pre-application conference happened in 2017. The calendars I submitted were 2018. October and November.
Then I'm confused. There was information in the record about you're saying the neighborhood did not properly notify people for the pre-application conference. That's not strictly a code requirement. There are notification requirements for the land use review, which we met.
Okay.
What I heard was new information.
Okay.
Excuse me. Just briefly, can I just go over the short list of new information that I heard in the testimony? I think mostly it's not relevant, as Fish mentioned. The tree removal and driveway issue, the noise complaints leading to a waterfall, not that there weren't noise complaints, but that the noise complaints led to the installation of a waterfall. I think that was a new statement. That the tree was removed and wood was given to a neighbor, not relevant, but new. That a false address info was given by the applicant, that's not really relevant, but new. And the free Uber rides, not relevant, new.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have testimony?
Very good. So next up are opponents of the appeal. How many people do we have signed up, Carla?
We have two left on the list.
Very good. 3 minutes each. Name for the record, please.
We have Levi Cole and Melinda King.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here.
I'll just read my prepared testimony, and then you guys can ask me any sort of questions you might have.
Very good. Thank you.
Much along the same line of I live on the same street as Mr. King, and I was a little bit mistaken as to the nature of this testimony, and I thought it had to do with the entirety of the variance itself, the things that they were asking for. So I'll try to keep abbreviate in that.
That's why I was asking those questions, because the presentation sounded like it was dealing with a much bigger issue than the narrow issue before us, and that also runs the risk of us getting information that's not in the record and stuff that's not germane.
Getting into
and
the
relevant.
Weeds and not germane.
So I was just trying to focus.
I understand. I'll try
on what we're allowed to consider.
I'll try.
And you did state your name.
He didn't.
My name is Leviticus Cole.
Thank you.
I'm an RN. I live at 2905 Northeast Flanders Street, Portland, Oregon 97232.
Thank you, sir.
The people on my street, I will loosely speak for a lot of us. We all signed a petition, the original petition for the last hearing. So I'm sort of speaking for a number of people who can't be here today. We just feel that this appeal should be denied, partly due to parking, mostly due to parking, and I'll try to stick to that topic. For us, the parking issue is not a parking issue, it's a traffic issue, and the numeration of people that come and go from the building creates a safety concern for us. It's definitely an annoyance when people block your driveway and you can't find any place to park, then blocks your house, which I understand is not really the city's concern, and I don't know how to address whether somebody said it was a viable thing or the parking study. I can say that it doesn't feel to people who live on that street as though this is an acceptable level of business. I've lived there for 8 years, and it's only increased over time, and it's become kind of drastic, the difference just from 8 years ago, the amount of traffic, people that come and go out of the building. And they've expanded. I mean, they bought the Flanders Street building across the street from my house, and I'm sure that had an impact on it, but it is incredibly noticeable. And for us, for me anyway, I have two little kids. We're out on the street, you know, playing around the sidewalk a lot, and it's a disturbing amount of traffic, and it is traffic that you can see is directly related to the Everett Street house, because you can watch them park and go in and leave that building and get in their car and leave. So it's not a speculation on my part. In my testimony, I was going to say things about the commercial zoning and how it's sort of been a little bit of mission creep, and it's expanded past what it was intended to be, but if that's not what this hearing is for, then I can bypass.
But you can talk about that, because that's in the hearings officer's decision.
Okay. Much in the same, Fred's pretty exhaustive, and he's kind of covered a lot of things that I would also say, so I'll try to abbreviate that. But it does feel, to those of us who live on the street, I'm not an attorney, I'm not in Mantell's books, and I'm not trying to talk out of school. It just feels very much like this business is not operating at all like the original 1982 conditional use permit was intended for it to be. It doesn't feel like a community center. It feels very much like a for-profit medical office building, which I have no problem with any of that, except for the fact that it's in the middle of my street in a residential neighborhood, and it's having a pretty profound impact on the way that we live our lives, and it feels as though this isn't really what the city intended it to be like. And I don't have anything against, I know that it provides a service for people that, and people are very obviously very passionate about this place and what it provides for them. And I don't disagree with that at all. It just is having a big impact on our lives of the people who live on that street.
Mr. Cole, I just want to make certain that you know that it's not that some of the issues raised are not a concern of the city. It's simply the very narrow restriction.
It's not the mandate of this hearing.
This hearing. This is not a typical city council hearing. This is a land use proceeding.
Okay. Well, then I'll leave the rest of that go. Thank you for your time.
Your views appreciated. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Mylinda King. I live across the street from Levi on Flanders Street. And I will try to just be brief. We are concerned about the ramping up of activity over the years. I've lived in my house since 94, and I can say there's definitely been just one thing piled on, one thing piled on, one thing piled on, new things added. And I'll just give one example. A few years ago, the Flanders House, as it's called, was owned by somebody else, and at that time it housed, I think, about nine, it leased out about nine rooms for massage mostly. And then a few years ago, Mr. Mantel bought that house, and almost immediately there was an uptick in activity at the house in addition to the nine massage rooms that were rented out. And I am going to give you each a copy of my full testimony and a copy of a calendar. This is a calendar of events for the Flanders House now. And every day there's a class, many days there are two classes. And this is in addition to all the other practitioners that work out of that house. And I think that this is the kind of thing that really impacts our neighborhood. When Mr. Art talked about how on Everett and Flanders Street there are sometimes more cars parked on the street than spaces even allow. What that translates for us, the people that live there, is that our driveways are blocked. Okay? And this is, I don't know if they keep records, but if you could look at how many times parking comes to our street for a car blocking a driveway, I think you'd be surprised. It happened just yesterday. It was a practitioner that worked out of the Flanders House, completely blocked somebody's driveway. So this is the kind of, like, adding more services is one thing. Adding more events, classes, is another. And to say that 20 is an acceptable number, this is in addition to all the other people that are there already for all these other things. I think it is a parking issue. And you can perhaps come sometime and see for yourself what it's like. So I just want to conclude and say that we've got a letter that we submitted in the last hearing. 20 people on my block signed it saying they oppose this. I would like to urge you to uphold the denial, because I don't think the city has the bandwidth to monitor and enforce all of these issues. The burden has always been on the neighborhood, and I also don't think the business can be trusted to comply on its own. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you for being here. So next, and that concludes the testimony. Is that correct, Carla?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Next up is any rebuttal by the appellant. Should the appellant so choose, you have 5 minutes plus an additional 45 seconds as a result of the principal opponent taking an extra 45 seconds. So, Carla, if you could set it at 5:45, please.
For the record, Renee France. So, I think...
One moment. We're having some troubles with the timer. 5:45, please. There you go. Thank you.
It's like the shot clock in basketball. The referee have to reset it. One of the things that strikes me in listening to the supporters of the hearings officer's decision, I guess I will call them, testimony, and I think it's played out in the record, is one of the hard things, and I know that the hearings officer struggled with this as well, but the 1982 conditional use had some ambiguous conditions. It had some vague conditions. It had some conditions with requirements that weren't defined in code. For example, new construction. It's not a term that's defined in code. One person can look at a gazebo that they buy at Costco and assemble and place in a backyard in a residential setting and believe that that is not in violation of the condition. So one of the true benefits, I think, of this process is to get conditions that are clearer, are less ambiguous, have grounding in the code definitions, and I think that staff's conditions actually do that. So I think in terms of the concerns about construction that has popped up largely comes from ambiguous conditions that were in the past conditions. That is rectified if you were to adopt our requested decision with the condition.